877-654-321. Go.
I think some of these people have to really hit rock bottom before they'll get it.
He does not get it.
It's rumors, you see? That's how it starts.
So you did this purposely to get under people's skin, to start this. You are a provocateur. That's what you set out to do. You set out to be purposely provocative so that we would be sitting on. See, we have given you exactly what you wanted.
The point that you're absolutely right. Kids don't understand satire.
Yeah, kids don't understand satire. Adults don't either. Hi, it's Greg Duffel. I'm back again. Just finished a stint as a DJ. I didn't put my DJ voice on, though.
Keep your eyes open. There's a very good chance you're going to be seeing some wacky stuff.
Oh, yeah. You keep your eyes open. Wacky stuff.
Strange, funny stuff. Yes. As Johnny Carson used to say.
Scientology scandal. Could someone else be Suri's dad?
I don't know. How would I know?
Oh, this is good. This is great.
Out of opinion, I guess.
Christina Aguilera is rumored to be scheduled for a C-section this Thursday.
Whoa.
Ooh, that should be fun.
Oh, come on, Tanya. C-sections aren't fun.
CNN breaking news.
Oh, what is it?
How do we don't know I farted? All the time. Actually, my mother was a great farter. And I, too. I would lean forward, but it's just a disaster when I do.
There was an incredible sense of relief.
There's nothing hard to wait for me. It's just... Okay, we're here. We're back. Another week of fun, I guess, if this is what you call fun. I'm Greg Duffel. As I said before, this is a show that starts at 8:30, goes till 10:30 usually. As I said, I did a whole stint there playing music for Jeff Wiseman because poor Jeff's ill. He didn't sound in bad shape, but he gave me details about what kind of shape he was in. Didn't sound good. I mean, he'll be okay. I think it just takes some time to get through this particular nasty patch. But I think it's something he ate, frankly. I think that's what he told me. I won't go into any greater detail than that. But that put Jeff out. He phoned up Phil Delio, who does the alternate weeks. And Phil was busy. Imagine being busy at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. What is he, preparing for an 8:30 program? Anyway, Phil couldn't come in either. I guess maybe he was worshiping Obama somewhere and or just getting over the stunning reaction to having him in Canada. He's just in complete shock. Phil Delio just loves that Obama. I mean, fierce. And so I was the de facto guy. So I pulled a few records this morning in a few minutes in amongst preparing for the program. And one of Jeff's listeners phoned up, and I think his name is Bill. And he said, oh, good job. I don't know. I just played stuff, that's all. Put some records on. Diverse and eclectic. No real continuity between them. No genre. But isn't that Twilight Spirits? Isn't that the whole deal? All right. We're here. And we got already phone action. Let's start with this phone. You're on the air. I assume this is Bob Dobbs.
Great.
Yes.
You can dump me if you want.
Oh,
okay.
No. I don't want to do any dumping.
Okay, well, I don't know if this fits, but...
Yeah.
After perusing the events of half of my cause this week, I think there's a gross level of sleepy, dreaming unawareness, And it's gotten to the point where probably most of the programmers on CKLN, if they don't start listening to you, and responding to your emails at least.
All right, we're into our first dump. Okay. All right. I've got it recorded though, Bob. All right.
Okay.
What you said is now for posterity.
Yes, I'm trying to point out that there is such a bizarre level of skullduggery going on.
Yeah.
That one can't even tell who's guilty and who's the perpetrator, who's the victim, and it could get to an absurd level like that. We're involved in something that we better start paying attention to, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You can't assume that you're not involved, you're just programming. You know, it's I don't get involved with the...
You're right, Bob. I was speaking to someone the other day, and they said, you know, I just come in and do my show, and, you know, that's all I want. And I said, those days are over. Those days are over because I've been reading Robert's Rules, Robert's Rules of Order. I never thought I would. I didn't even know what Robert's Rules of Order were. I didn't know how they ran Parliament. Now I know why it's so official and why they're getting up and saying, Madam Chair, Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, whatever.
It's Bob's Rule.
You're right. And... I've been reading that, and it talks about members' responsibility, and we're members of the organization, and you have responsibilities to the place, and responsibilities to yourself and to everybody else. So you're supposed to get involved and check up on things occasionally. And
this is a legal corporation. There are responsibilities.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. There are. You're part of it. And even the someone's desperate to get on the phone here. Let me just see whether we can get them on. You're on the air. You're really chomping the bit there, aren't you?
Yeah. Good morning, Greg.
Oh, who's that?
Hey, good morning, Greg.
Oh, hello,
Dave.
Oh, hi, Dave. Dave, you don't sound well.
Yeah, I had a bit of that thing.
Oh, the stomach thing or the...
The throat and the lung thing.
Oh, boy, that's not good.
You know, I was wondering how much did that visit cost, Greg?
Which one?
That stupid Obama visit.
Oh, I don't know. Did you even watch the coverage of that? I've been so preoccupied this week.
I was so inspired.
It just looked awful. And all Harper said is that we owe the United States so much. If it weren't for the United States, we wouldn't be anything. And
yeah,
who wants to hear that?
I heard $2 billion, Greg. You know what I think happened? They're so broke down there, they're just going to fly around to a bunch of countries and threaten them and get a couple of billion from each one. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Bob. Sure, Bob.
Morning.
I can't hear you, Bob.
Hold on, I'll try and turn Bob up. Here, this is Bob. Bob's at maximum now. Go, Bob.
Yeah, no, you're right, caller. Exactly.
Oh, hi, Bob.
he wants to hear you. He hears me, gets disappointed immediately.
Well, go on.
Did you hear the opening I did today, Bob?
No, actually, you know what happened?
What happened?
I woke up at... 2:45 or whatever the hell, I woke up in my time and then I fell back asleep and the alarm didn't get up. But, geez, I woke up and it was 3:30.
Oh.
And, you know, I had some extra stuff to do here. We'll get into that later. So I missed the first 2 minutes maybe.
Hmm. Okay. You'll pick up on it later.
What about it?
No, nothing.
Okay.
nothing.
Did you hear Harper... You made a mistake. You called the United States. The United States.
And didn't...
I didn't fix it.
I'm glad you were covering that, because I just caught little bits of it at the end of the day.
He was scolding the press. Did you see him scolding them?
No.
He said, if there's a problem with security in the United States, we got a problem here.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, bye, Bob. Bye, Greg.
Okay, bye. Bye, sick Dave, too.
Watch it.
Excellent input. Pattern recognition there. Colossal pattern recognition. Now, that's an awake person.
Yeah, and he sounded a bit ill. I'm going to get onto it. I had complaints last week from... Are you on the computer, Bob? Are you on?
I'm online.
Are you on the chat?
No, I better get there.
Yeah, because somebody else is there. Somebody else has preceded us. Seacrest is preceding us. If you want to get on the chat, I'm going to hand out that information privately at internationalconnection@rogers.com. If you want to get on every week and be with, for instance, Seacrest and Gregory, that's me. I'm online. Bob will be up here in a minute. And we type little things to each other sometimes. I'm usually too busy to do anything like that. But sometimes we type little notes to one another. You can see sort of the inner workings of the show. Isn't that exciting? It isn't really, is it? internationalconnection@rogers.com. And the phone number, which I rarely give, there's Bob. Purple's up. 416-595-1655 is the number to call if you wish to chime in here. And it's at this moment that I want to introduce a guest to the program. I think this guest has been here before, but it's so long ago, I can't remember. Maybe I'm wrong. I know I've been a guest on his program. I remember that vividly, and I'm sure he does too. Mm-hmm. Mr. Steve Reimer is here, formerly a broadcaster at CIUT. He worked with Phil Taylor for a little bit, and then he got his own show, the Noontime Show, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was the other way around, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Got your own show first, and then you worked with Phil Taylor.
Yeah, I did Beyond the Classroom, which was a student issues-focused show.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had my own show on Fridays at noon. That lasted just over about 6 months, and burned myself out like a lot of good spoken word programmers do. And then I worked with Phil Taylor on his Monday show for a period of time. And yes, I was actually on your show, but that was at the old studios.
This
is the first time in the brand spanking new studios.
Isn't the first time you've been here, though, is it?
Actually,
is it?
Today's the second time I've been here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It wasn't with me, was it? Before? No. You were here before.
The first time on air in the studio, yeah.
So, and Steve is in sort of the Bob cult, I'd have to say. Wouldn't you agree with me?
Well, cult.
Cult. It is a cult. It is a cult.
Cult culture, you know.
All right. Cult culture. All right. Oh, boy. Okay, we're back with you, Bob. Steve Reimer's here with us, as you know, and Bob knows Steve, right?
Oh, no, Greg, it's not a cult. It's culture. It's a culture. It's voluntary. The thing is about Steve is he was listening to your show, I don't know, 2000-something, and he heard bits of me.
Yes.
And he wondered who the heck that was. And then somehow he connected Nelson Thal, or Lenny Bloom, his fake name, to me. And he got in touch with Nelson Thal / Lenny Bloom and interviewed him on CIUT. But his main interest was, hey Nelson, how can I get in touch with this Bob Dobbs character? And so eventually he did. He became a friend. That was in 2004. We've got him on video, his first encounter with the behind the scenes of Club 22. It's quite funny. And he's now doing secretarial duty.
Yes. Yes, I guess he is.
You wouldn't know about this. This is top secret. I won't announce what it is, but he is. He's contributing to the utopia I live in.
Yeah. Right. So that's Steve Reimer. So Steve's going to be with us. Feel free to chime in any time you want.
Okay.
There's going to be some wacky stuff, as was said in the opening, I think.
What did we miss at the beginning?
Oh, just, I just played a song and put some sound effects and stuff into it. You know, the usual kind of
usual
thing. Usual stuff. Nothing. Nothing too important. Let's get on with it. I had a complaint from a listener that I just don't get to things, and they're probably right. So let's get on with it. My favorite topic, President Kim. I'll always talk about President Kim. Now, been a lot of controversy about him, whether he was sick, what was wrong with him. Oh, what? Who's this? What's going on there? What's happening there? What's interrupting my story about President Kim?
Nothing.
I hear somebody else there.
Oh, what? No?
I hear another person. All right, we'll just carry on. I heard some disturbance, some whispering. President Kim, Kim Jong-il of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
Good that you made it, Dave. What?
Hmm?
Yeah, good.
All right, we're going to try and take another call. So let's see whether we get this person. You're on the air.
Hey, Bob, if we spin the globe backwards, time will go backwards, right?
No, that's visual space. Time is measured in visual space.
All but on the fantasy network where the psychotic utopia, simplistic dreams of the Obama maniacs are only things permitted, and nothing but trust in those above us is the only virtue required, surely it would work.
No, no, your kinetic space is movement. That's the spinning of the globe. And you're mixing in visual grid, Greenwich Village time, and all that stuff from visual space. They cancel each other out.
Yeah, I know, but Greg loves it when that conversation comes up, you know?
Well,
you mean about time?
I enjoy your...
The dateline, sure.
The dateline. I don't understand that guy. Hasn't he phoned in several times talking about the dateline?
Yeah, he didn't understand that I was more or less sending him up when I brought the conversation
Yes.
up.
Yes. Maybe he'll phone in again and bring up the dateline and whether Bob is really here or 5 hours behind.
Yeah, well, you won't thank me if he does, though, will you?
No, I won't thank you. I've never thanked you, have I? So thank you very much. But I will thank you for that call. I am thanking you. All right. Kim Jong-il is a great leader, and he has to firm things up over there because it's getting serious. You got Obama in power. He needs a target. And then Clinton's on the warpath. Her little friend Wendy, who was the friend of their close friends with Madeleine Albright, Wendy Sherman, wants to have a go at the Democratic People's Republic of Korea because she's been given that assignment. And when you've been given an assignment in the U.S. government, there's nothing better than having a war with that country. Or, if it's in the case of having an assignment with Israel, giving them lots and lots of nuclear weapons and then pretending that they don't exist. But President Kim is saying that he does have nuclear weapons and has tested them. And so now it's time to, as I said, firm everything up. He's canceled all of the agreements with the South because they have a reactionary leader. Things are turning the other way. And General Oh Kuk Royal, he's 78 years old, and he will serve as the vice chairman of the powerful National Defense Commission, the Korean Central News Agency reported. That's where I get all my news, actually. He replaces Vice Marshal Kim Young-chun, who is now the Armed Forces Minister. Correspondents say General Oh is a hardliner, and his appointment seems intended to send a defiant message to South Korea. General O. I love this. I love General O, don't you? What do you think, Steve? Guy just General O.
It's like McG.
Yeah, McG. He rose to the rank of four-star general in 1985 and once served as chief of the military's general staff. His appointment is another sign that Kim Jong-il, the great President Kim Jong-il, is tightening his control over the military amid high tensions with its southern neighbor. And the relations between the two countries, and it should be one country. They should be getting along just well. They should be getting along very nicely under Kim Jong-il's leadership. But unfortunately, there are these rogue people allied with the United States of America that are getting in the way. And the relationship between this rogue group of people in the South and President Kim, it's at an all-time low. Because the South appointed a hardline unification minister. In other words, I don't know. I guess a hardline unification minister in the South is saying President Kim has to be killed. I'm not sure. I'll have to do some more reading on that. North Korea is reportedly planning to launch a missile test. And they're ready. The troops are ready. That's what President Kim says. And amidst the speculation of Kim Jong-il's health, which I have no speculation about, I don't think he's sick. I believe in what they say. He's not sick. He hasn't had a stroke. And by the time of that writing of that particular piece that I took the information from, there was some talk about President Kim announcing a successor, and this indeed has happened. 2 days ago, Kim Jong-il has anointed his youngest son, Kim Jong-un, to lead the communist nation, putting an end to rumors over who his successor would be. So it's 25-year-old Kim Jong-un with a European education and fondness for sushi.
Sushi?
Yeah, yeah. That will be understood a little bit later. Also likes German cars and baseball. He'd be the second in the North Korea, and the army has also pledged its loyalty to the bloodline of the senior Kim.
Does he share his father's interest in film?
I don't know. Mm. I don't know. This is what the General Park Jae-kyung of the North Korean Defense Ministry is saying. We will firmly carry on the bloodline of Meng Yong-dai and Mount Paektu with our guns faithfully upholding leadership of our supreme commander. Now, do you know what Mount Paektu is?
No idea.
Do you know Bob? Bob's not there. Bob's gone. Huh. Fascinating. Well, he'll have to phone back, I guess. Mount Paektu is this wonderful mountain in North Korea, in Democratic People's Republic of Korea. It's up very high, and even people in the South have pictures, calendars. When I visited South Korea, they have pictures and calendars up on their wall where they're working. And it's a huge lake up high in a mountain, and it's quite beautiful. Hmm. And we'll see some pictures of President Kim at the lake. I don't know whether he's been photoshopped in or not, but but it is a place that all Koreans want to go. It's a special place. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the people in South Korea had been denied going there. And I think they can go there now under special arrangement. But so that's what part of it. I don't know what Meng Yong-dai is. I'm not sure what that is. But and for some reason, the foreigners are worried about the North Korean succession. I don't know why they're worried, because everything will be all right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Everything will be okay. Mm-hmm. Hello, you're on the air.
Greg, I got disconnected.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Sorry.
When you first come on, we get hit with a blast. I'm never sure what the levels are supposed to be here. But we were just speaking about, did you hear the bit where, Bob, where we've got Kim Jong-un, and he is the new 25-year-old successor, hereditary successor to Kim Jong-il?
I heard that. That's the last I heard.
So
say something about that after?
He's the youngest of three sons, known sons of Kim Jong-il, was born in 1983 to Ko Young-hee. Now, she was a Korean dancer of Japanese origin.
Ah.
So that would be the sushi connection.
All right.
Now, sushi's a big thing even in Korea, partly, I would imagine, because there's a lot of fish about.
Mm.
And the other reason is that the Japanese invaded Korea, and in the early 1900s, and stayed there for some considerable length of time, until President Kim, the older President Kim, the great leader, just pushed them out, tried to push them into the sea, and got rid of them off the Korean Peninsula. So now, Mrs. Clinton was off in Asia, threatening North Korea, which is her want, seems like. They're just on the warpath again. Obama is sending off his favorite warmonger, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And then they're all worried about the succession struggle. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said the U.S. is taking everything into account. Such threatening language. To plan for a possible succession struggle in North Korea and warn the country to end its quote-unquote provocative rhetoric against South Korea. What's provocative? So you're massing your 1.1 million man army or woman army. So you got your nuclear weapons ready. What's provocative
about that?
No. You've only got one. Isn't Israel constantly provocative? They never say Israel's provocative. North Korea, quote, is not going to get a different relationship with the United States while insulting and refusing dialogue. Well, I don't know. Sometimes you can get a different by insulting people.
Well, it's funny how easily it's like, especially when Bush was there, it wasn't too hard to insult the U.S., it seemed, with almost anything that we did.
No, and they're always insulting President Kim. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to say hi to Steve. I used to love his program on Fridays on CIUT.
Thank you.
Great. Kudos to Steve from the audience. Remembered.
Oh yeah, man. Actually, he's one of the reasons why I don't donate to you guys, because after I donated, they canceled his show. So he and another one with there's another guy who's still there, but educating us or something.
Oh yes,
they
yes.
Canceled.
Anyway, wait a minute. When you said don't donate to you guys, you're saying donate to CIUT.
Yeah.
They do change their schedule quite a bit over there, and so. But Steve, you would you say that you left of your own accord? You just said
oh,
no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was totally voluntary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Decision.
Well, I mean,
so he could still be there today.
Yeah. His show was great, man. It was great. Anyway,
Rick Sanchez! Is that who it is?
No.
Oh.
No, the guy.
Oh, Rick Santelli. Rick Santelli, yeah, Bob sent me a clip of that, and then I couldn't get it up and running.
I could have sworn that you have that clip ready for us.
I don't.
It's great, man.
What did he do?
Well, basically, he was blasting the Obama asked stimulus package that why are they buying toxic assets in that? If it was any good, mean investors would buy it up. So why take taxpayers' money and buy up this junk if the banks have these toxic assets on their books? Let them eat it. You know, so that was his big thing. But it was almost as good as when Kramer was screaming at Aaron Burnett. You remember that clip?
Oh.
It's all.
They know nothing! They know nothing! They know nothing! That one?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see if I can get this. Let me see whether this will work.
It's good, man.
All right, let's see.
Anyway, guys, take care.
Okay,
thanks. Ciao. You know, Greg, I couldn't remember. It was a Santelli or Sanchez, but I figured it sounds like the guy you watched, so I sent it to you.
No, it's and I don't think that we can. Isn't it unfortunate? We can't. I got it right here. It's Santelli. Yeah.
Who's the guy that you go after?
Rick Sanchez.
I think it might be muted.
Yeah. Where?
On the bottom there.
Where? Here?
Or the volume level?
Where? Down here.
Inside the browser.
Inside the browser.
Yeah, in that window.
Here, you help me.
Is he standing right beside you?
Well, he's in the same room.
Okay. Do you have any problems getting in today?
Oh, there we go. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Or would we like to...
Okay, here, I'll do this from the video. This is this Rick Santelli clip.
Also, we want to get to our task force right now. Rick Santelli and
Task Jason Force
Money of Sharma Capital are standing by at the scene.
Whenever I hear task force, I hate that. Whenever I hear somebody's on a task force, I get a very ugly feeling about it.
Task Did you know
force?
That McLuhan said back in the early 50s that task forces and government commissions are Canadian culture?
Yeah?
That makes sense.
Yep.
Because I remember, I've just got bad vibes with it, because they put a task force to look into me once here.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they just lie. And the task force has a mission. The mission in this particular case was to get rid of me.
Mm.
And the scum,
the
scum that were on that task force, I'll tell you.
But we don't have to dump that. That's okay for you to say.
Yeah,
that.
I think that's okay.
I know it's hard to tell what the rules are, but why is that okay? Because they're not there anymore.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Mm.
All right, let's carry on with Rick Santelli. Task force.
B Group in Chicago, and Rick, have you been listening to this conversation?
Listening to it, I've been just glued to it because Mr. Ross has nailed it. You know, the government is promoting bad behavior because we certainly don't want to put stimulus forth and give people a whopping $8 or $10 in their check and think that they ought to save it. And in terms of modifications, I'll tell you what, I have an idea. You know, the new administration's big on computers and technology. How about this, President and new administration? Why don't you put up a website to have people vote on the internet as a referendum to see see if we really want to subsidize the losers' mortgages, or would we like to at least buy cars and buy houses in foreclosure and give them to people that might have a chance to actually prosper down the road and reward people that could carry the water instead of drink the water?
Hey, Rick. The internet? What is he talking about? Having a vote on the internet. How's
internet
that going to work?
Referendum.
Yeah, a referendum. A vote on the internet? What a nut. All right, let's carry on with Rick Santelli. Is this going to get better?
It's a novel idea.
Hey, Rick, did you...
What? Who thought of that?
They're like putty in your hands. Did you hear?
No, they're not, Joe. They're not like putty in our hands. This is America. How many of you people want to pay for your neighbor's mortgage that has an extra bathroom and can't pay their bills? Raise their hand. How about we all... President Obama, are you listening?
We've been paying for other people's big houses for years. What's he talking about?
No, Greg,
the whole point of his business is paying for other people's stuff at our expense.
He's a journalist. He's supposed to give a report, but he's all worked up, and he's got all those guys in the Mercantile Exchange in Chicago who are working on their computers.
Backing him up.
Cheering with him, mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about we all stop paying our mortgage? It's a moral hazard.
This is like mob rule here. I'm getting scared. I'm glad I'm a...
Don't get scared, Joe.
I like that. Actually, I like that idea of not paying your mortgage. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
The Joker said, this is getting scary.
Joe Kernan. Oh, not paying your mortgage, that's the end of capitalism.
They're approaching our style of show.
Going to pay for that extra bathroom?
And a relatively decent economy. They moved from the individual to the collective. Now they're driving 54 Chevys. Maybe the last great car to come out of Detroit.
One or two, which is a little strange to watch. Hey, Rick, how about the notion that Wilbur pointed out you can go down to 2% on the mortgage.
You can go down to minus 2%
and still have 40% not be able to do it. So why are they in the house? Why are we trying to keep them in the house?
I know Mr. Summers is a great economist, but boy, I'd love the answer to that one.
Jason,
we're
thinking of having a Chicago Tea Party in July. All you capitalists that want to show up to Lake Michigan, I'm going to start organizing.
What are you dumping in this time?
I'm going to be dumping in some derivative securities. Yeah. What do you think about
Mayor
that?
Daley is marshaling the police right now.
Rabble rout.
National Guard.
Jason, are you nearby? Can you hear the cheering?
I am, but I don't have the gallery directly behind me, so it's going to be tough to follow that act.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. You agree?
I have to run down to the pit. Well, clearly, we're going to debate the moral issues of what government is and is not doing for some years to come. I mean, it's apparent even for traders. It's the market gaps up and down a significant amount each day just on what one government may or may not do. We're up 10 points or so in the S&P on the idea that core Europe may have some bank stability plan. So, you know, the traders market, the uncertainty.
Is that the end of Rick Santelli? Is that it? Oh, here he is. Here he is again.
I don't think you can't just do it at will, can you, Rick? I mean, you have to say something.
Yeah, do it at will. Let's see.
Listen, all I know is that there's only about 5% of the population here right now, and I talk loud enough they can all hear me. So if you want to ask them anything, let me know. These guys are pretty straightforward, and my guess is a pretty good statistical cross-section of America, the silent majority.
Not so silent majority. Yeah.
Not a woman in the bunch.
Right. So, Rick, are they opposed to the housing thing, to the stimulus package, to everything out there?
You know, they're pretty much of the notion that you can't buy your way into prosperity. And if the multiplier that all of these Washington economists are selling us is over one, then we never have to worry about the economy again. The government should spend $1 trillion an hour because we'll get $1.5 trillion back.
Wilbur?
Rick, I congratulate you on your new incarnation as a revolutionary leader.
Somebody needs one. I'll tell you what, if you read our founding fathers, people like Benjamin Franklin and Jefferson, what we're doing in this country now is making them roll over in their graves.
All right, Rick, we're going to check back in with you in 15 minutes when we get
some
of the data.
Now that's objective journalism.
Jason, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Of course, Wilbur's staying with
us. That guy's been listening to our show.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, what they're doing on the CNBC, if you watch it, they're constantly arguing with one another and yelling at one another. This seems to be the new mode.
Crossfire is
pretty... Yeah, lots of talking over everybody, much like this program. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Greg.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Fine.
Good.
Could I make a request? Is this the request line?
Sure. I got all my records here.
No, it's yeah. you.
You ready
I'd
to go?
I'd like you to do more impersonations of James Cleaver and Rick Sanchez and anyone else. You're a great impersonator.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I was going to practice one the other day. I'll think about that. Thank you very much for the kudos.
And Rick,
I'm here, Greg. What was the request?
The request was that she said that that I'm a good impersonator. So she wants more impersonations, more vocal stuff going on. I'll work on that. I did a bit of Johnny Carson earlier today, and I did some Rick Sanchez.
I love when you do Rick Sanchez. He's hilarious. He's weird. And who's Rick Santelli? Is he on Fox?
No, he's on CNBC.
Oh, because I thought I heard Greta Van Susteren's voice in there somewhere.
You did?
Well, no, maybe.
Here, let me find some Rick Sanchez here. Let's see. Let's see. Rick Sanchez. Oh, here he is. Okay, here's Rick Sanchez.
I didn't care what George Bush thought of me.
Yeah, he didn't care what.
You know, I don't care what Barack Obama thinks of me.
He doesn't care what George Bush thinks.
I didn't care what George Bush thought of me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what Barack Obama thinks of me.
Then?
You know, I don't care what Barack Obama thinks of me. Right. I don't care. I didn't care what George Bush thought of me. It's my job to criticize them.
Rick Sanchez!
I know, I love it.
And then here's another one.
He's always
so we're not going to be mean to Barack Obama's boy, and we're not going to be mean to Barack Obama.
And then this was my favorite.
It makes you think, doesn't it?
This is a good one.
It makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He's always smiling.
He thinks in real simplistic terms. He's a real, you know, anti-Castro kind of flag-waving.
Oh, yeah.
Big sort of, like, arrogant braggadocio. Anyway, thanks, Greg.
Okay,
bye.
Thanks, bye.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
If I talk when you're playing a clip, can I be overheard?
Oh, of course.
Well, did you notice any mumbling?
Mm. I heard mumbling.
Yeah. Well, we got a great Canadian businessman here.
Yes? And who is that?
You should bring him on.
All right, go
ahead.
Say
a few words there, whoever you are.
Words make the market.
Oh, that sounds like that sounds like Mr. Dave Neufeld. He's a music producer and writer, performer here in Canada and everywhere, and he's over
Dave.
In Hawaii, I guess.
Yeah.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Greg. How's it going, buddy?
Good. I always get worried when Dave's on the air.
Which seems to be happening.
Hold on. We got a caller on the phone. You're on the air.
We don't even care about Neufeld. We have a caller.
Hello? You're on the air.
You know what I mean? There are some things which seems to be happening. There's a similar thing with...
Hello?
You know what I mean? There are some things which seems to be happening.
Yeah, do that again.
You know what I mean?
Do that again. Do that again, Colin.
And again? Oh, the other gone now. So, Dave, you're going to be chiming in at various times, are you? Or are you going to? You just got there in Hawaii?
I just got there. It was a long flight, but sure, I'll chime in.
All right.
What's the topic of the show, I guess?
It's nothing. There's no particular
chaos. Chaos.
What's the topic of this show, Greg? Station are we on?
There's no particular topic. We were talking about President Kim.
We were talking about what, Greg? What were we talking about?
I was talking about Yoo Myung-hwan, which is the South Korean foreign minister that Clinton met with, President Clinton, the hoped-for president of the United States that is now the Secretary of State of the United States. She said she was unconcerned how Kim Jong-il's regime might react to her comments, suggesting strains over who will succeed him may be linked to possible missile test preparations. What? She called on North Korea to return to six-party talks. They got to get lots of people together to talk to their enemies. They can't just get together. The United States just can't get together and talk to them alone. They have to get all sorts of other people together. Okay, you're on the air.
Hi, I got a... Good morning, Greg.
Hello, are we going to talk about time zones now?
I got to say I feel summarily humbled this morning, but I decided to call again.
Okay.
At the risk of being sent up.
Well, I'm not the only one doing it.
No, I know.
I know. You are classic. But it's great when people do that. I don't think that we don't like it.
Oh, no, I feel important when I garner reaction. Yeah. It's impossible.
Oh, sure. The electric age, the age of put on and miming of each other. It's interesting. If you, abuse well, value. If you get taken up, put on, you feel important.
Well,
everybody
it is
turns
one,
into a comedian.
It is. It's one form of interaction. You got to realize that the people listening to this show are mostly single people huddled away in their little holes on a Sunday morning, listening to this. So any form of interaction is a positive thing. I would imagine. I can't imagine.
The only level of community we can get today.
And a lot of people probably who might at some point think of phoning in are a little bit frightened to phone in because they think they might get sent up. That's something they say we might not take a liking to or might seem strange. But I don't think you should be uninhibited. Phone in. You want to talk about...
What's the number? Is it?
You want to talk about 416-595-1655. You want
to... involving... that they think they're being identified, and they feel naked. Nobody knows who you are.
No.
I don't know who Dave Tree is. Never met him. I don't know Andy. Never met him. Oh, I did see a picture of him once. Doesn't matter.
People
curiously think that they're available, and they are. An essence of their spirit is in their voice, and that's coming through. So, yeah, it's like ambivalent, tactile, visceral. I can't say the other word.
I don't think people are worried about being identified or broadcast. I mean, this is CKLN. There's only, I don't know how much listeners there are. But
10.
So even if they're identified, they'll be identified.
Hold on. I'm going to see. I think there's a way that I can see how many people are listening to the stream. Whoa, we got 14 people listening on the stream.
Holy smokes.
Well, how many of those people are monitoring the broadcast, Greg?
Oh, almost everybody. Mm-hmm. Hey, we got five on the small stream. That's pretty big.
Greg, I just looked at the chat portal. It says, Bob, we can hear you mumbling to yourself. Geezer, he didn't know that was mumbling to Dave. But he can hear me. I want that.
I figured you were doing that.
That's why you weren't on the record.
Yeah, so we've got...
mumbling to Dave Neufeld.
It appears as if we've
A member of Broken Social Scene. Occasionally loud to play, but you know what he did really, right?
Yeah,
if you go on eBay, you put in Dave Neufeld, they have artifacts they sell. Dave Neufeld, aliases, producers for Bob, Broken Social Scene. Look, we have something he made for 15 minutes. And they list all these obscure artifacts they sell because Dave Neufeld's a legend.
Right. Well, we know that. And they know that.
Stuff, Dave? Yeah. Oh, Dave doesn't have to. He's well paid, but he does. So he doesn't need any more money. So let's contemplate this fact. Dave Neufeld has arrived in Dobbstown here in Utopia. He can't see anything. It's a quarter after 4 in the morning. It's dark. He doesn't know where he is. He hasn't seen it yet. You arrived at night, right?
Yes.
See, I had to go to sleep, Greg, to get ready for the show, and so Connie had to go and pick him up.
But I think it's strange to even see Dave in the daytime. He seems like a night kind of guy.
True. Dave, that picture of him getting beat up by the cops made him look good, considering the dark circles under his eyes. I mean, Dave, in a previous life, was a concentration camp. You understand that? He was killed by the Nazis. We know this through the evergreens.
Holy.
Am I going beyond our range of comprehension?
Maybe.
We know we reincarnate. That's a given, right? This is the 21st century, people. Get with it. We now know everything.
Okay, Bob, calm down. I got to talk.
Let Neufeld speak.
Or just quickly, they said, you've had 1,400 lives, and you're drawing on 23 of them in this particular life.
Actually, 22 of them, Dave.
Yeah, 22 of them. They're still in visual space.
I bet you get Dawes and Neufeld in the same room. Look out, people. He'll get on that streetcar and get down there pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I bet the caller never thought that they'd be having to deal with that. I've turned them off just momentarily here. Go ahead. Why don't you say your piece, and they can collect their thoughts over on their end.
You see, that's what the extra sleep has done for Bob. It's charged him up, man. I think he should sleep right up until the beginning of the show all the time. But, of course... I have to – that Dave Neufeld, or whoever he is, being out in Hawaii, of course, brings me to my favorite subject.
Did you say Dave Neufeld, whoever he is?
Whoever.
Is that what you said? Yeah, Dave Neufeld is quite well known to a lot of people. He's the producer or has produced many of the songs and albums of a group called The Broken Social Scene.
Oh, okay.
And have you heard of them?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so Dave has been a major part of that movement – for a few years, and I think sometimes they work without him, and then they desperately want to get back and work with him again.
So he's decided to join Bob in Hawaii?
He has. He's going to be making an... are you going to be recording with Bob there, Dave?
I don't know, but I'll tell you this. There's a band that I'm working with now that are on the same label as Bone Social Scene called The Most Serene Republic. And we're making a kick-ass album. That'll come out in June. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Okay. Maybe...
They're called The Most Serene Republic, yeah.
Do you know that the last time Dave was on... This is a bit frightening for me. Mm-hmm.
October 8th, 2006.
Yeah, October 6th.
October 8th.
I'm sorry. October 8th, 2006.
Yeah.
Was the first time that Dave Neufeld ever appeared on this program. And it just also coincided with us being
ousted.
The last show before we were gotten rid of for 14 months.
Ousted.
Wow. So when Bob told me that Dave Neufeld was going to be on, I thought, oh, that's not good.
Bad omen.
That's bad. That's very bad. But we'll hope that doesn't happen
again. Yeah, Dave Neufeld, whenever he shows up, he'll get fired. Count on that. He's so good. He's devastated, but he was fired with C. Kelly like 10 times.
It's a threat.
Dave is a threat. He is an environment. And you drowned me out, I think. But I wanted to say CBC did a report, a summary of Canadian music history, and they went through like Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, all these faves. Phases, and the fifth phase was now Broken Social Scene. Dave Neufeld now is official Canadian history, creating a new Canadian musical.
And Dave Neufeld was also the news director at CKLN about 20 some odd years ago.
Yeah, when we actually thought we would do something.
Yeah, I know, and it's come to this.
This is the result.
Yeah, imagine all of the things that you were sending out, all those radio waves to listeners like me, and it's all come down to this. It's pathetic.
Yes, and Neufeld was an actual Ryerson student back in the golden days when the student could get on the station.
Yeah, when they allowed them in. Yeah, and Hey, Dave, are you?
Listen.
Hey, are you interested in becoming the former core staff if that comes up?
I will still consider it.
All right, very good.
Is there anything left of this station?
Yes, it still carries on. Steve can affirm that the station is still here. Mm-hmm. Just tap the floor a bit. Still there? Okay, good.
He was going to say something about the past.
I forgot.
The past. Yeah. You were director, news director or something. You said
I forgot.
All right, listen, I want to talk about... caller, are you done what you wanted to say?
It just seems so insignificant now. It was just more Dateline stuff. But I guess in the grand scheme, it doesn't matter. I don't think anybody really cares besides me.
Yeah,
that's
a sad thing. That's very sad when you feel that things matter and other people don't.
Okay, well, let me just make
that a soundbite. That's a really important statement, what he just said.
Yeah, it is.
That is the McLuhan effect.
Yeah.
I was just curious. You see, initially, I was going back to Y2K back in 1999, 2000.
Right.
Yeah, K is the 11th letter, 2K is 1122, so Y22.
Exactly. And yes. if the world was to end, all I wanted to know was where it was going to end first. Because it couldn't be a simultaneous thing because we don't have simultaneous time around the planet. So I would imagine that planes would have to drop out of the sky first in, I don't know, Australia or wherever the morning sun comes. And then they would drop out of the sky in Japan.
Mm.
And then they would drop out of the sky in China and so on and on in staggers around the planet. You know, all the systems would break down because it wouldn't be 12 noon. It wouldn't be 2000 the same time all around the world.
Were you sorry that didn't happen then? You kind of wanted to see that happen, didn't you?
I wanted to see what was going to happen because it occurred to me sometime in 1999 that it was really impossible for the whole world to shut down like that, seeing as how it's not 12 midnight everywhere in the world at the same time. So that's really what I wanted to know, was whether the world was going to end in Hawaii first or after everything is finished in Vancouver and Seattle and Los Angeles, and then a few hours, and then the world would end in Hawaii, which was really what I was getting at, if you know what I mean.
And it didn't, though, did it?
No, nothing happened. Here we are in 2000.
That was the only one in the world, one of the few that predicted nothing would happen.
Well,
you have to realize that. It's on record. We can play it. Steve Reimer, he got it. He's got it in his archives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not on record, but I kind of figured nothing would happen as well, so I started
out... But you didn't know why. Everybody can say it. I mean, I predicted the president
No, crashed. No, that's why I thought it didn't happen, because it's not simultaneous all over the world, so that's what occurred to me and made me say, well, hey, this whole Y2K thing is bogus, because it would have to happen in staggers around the world, and that would just be ridiculous.
It would have happened. What's the problem here? Okay, say it takes 24 hours.
Well, if we see planes dropping out of the sky in Australia and Japan, then surely the rest of the world would say, hey, something's wrong over there. The world's ending.
Everybody in different time zones. Like, we've got 59 minutes to fix this thing, or else the planes are going to fall out of the sky.
Come on, everybody. We got 59 minutes. Rick Sanchez. No more television in 59 minutes. It's going to be hitting Atlanta anytime soon.
I thought the whole thing would be
okay.
When that was happening, guess who president was at that time? Monica Lewinsky. Think about that. Monica Lewinsky was the person in charge.
So, do you see where my question was? That's what really originated my whole thread with the datelines, is that that would just be a ridiculous situation. So I kind of knew that it wouldn't happen. So what with Bob being out in Hawaii?
It would be crazy.
Well, I don't know if it would be. I just
crazy.
Well, the whole thing would be. So that's what I wanted to really put out there. But I guess there's not any real answer that anybody...
No, it's a good question. I mean,
this would be...
Zappa once said to Gray Slick when he's being interviewed, he says, well, this is not the place, this disco, to discuss philosophy. There's lots of deep issues that callers bring up, but I'm not allowed to go in there because we've got to take other callers. But this is a key thing. How do you map the Greenwich Village space product of the Gutenberg Press on with electric simultaneity? So you're like, everybody is watching that. When the planes go down on TV, they'll all be stunned by it. Could they run to their computers and turn it off at headquarters? That is a profound question. What sensory environment are we in?
Thank you.
Could you imagine
He said, thank you, Greg. But focus on that, Greg. Focus
I'm
on
focusing
that.
On it.
Whatever you're going to say. Focus on the guy got something. We match here, Greg.
Hold on. I'm thinking more about what William Shatner would be doing in Hollywood.
The TV body.
Here it is. Here it is.
TV
here's what,
body guy.
Here's what William Shatner would be doing.
Talking.
In 2000, if the planes were starting to crash and it was coming heading towards him, the hour was counting down. Here it is. This is William Shatner in his home.
10, 9... All systems go.
Looking good.
Looking good.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
There. Planes crashing out of the sky. Right there. Because of the time zones and the Y2K. Well, it didn't happen, caller.
No, it didn't, fortunately.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, that was a good examination of time zones again. Good riff. Variations on a theme. Anytime you want to phone in and talk about that again, that's fine with me.
Very well. Don't worry about 2012. It's happening right now.
And don't worry about anybody goofing on you, because it just creates more fodder for more material about the time zones.
Well, that's okay. Story of my life.
Okay. Thank you.
Carry on, gentlemen.
Bye.
416-595-1655.
Actually, yes. Thank you, Steve. Although, here's some of the little clips we sometimes use for that. Like this.
Call 416-595-1655. That's 416-595-1655 today.
Call now.
Yeah, call now. And?
My job is to entertain, to educate, and boy, it's hard to do on days like today. But call me.
Call 416-595-1655. That's 416-595-1655 today.
All right. So there you have it.
Call now.
I think people have the number now. We're not desperate for calls. Anyway, I was talking about... Okay, this is the chain of events here, all right, that I'm struggling to get to.
Hey, Greg.
Oh, my gosh.
Greg, if
yes?
I get disconnected,
yes?
We'll be calling right back.
All right.
Big operation being attempted here,
okay? All right.
So, you go ahead. We're going to try something.
Okay. Well, we've got another call. And
over
you're
here,
on,
Dave.
You're on the air.
Dave, okay, but you see where Connie is? Okay, try
here. I'm
gonna...
Okay, you're on the air. You're on the air.
Steve Reimer go? Where'd he go?
Steve Reimer's here.
Steve Reimer go? Where'd he go? Where's Steve Reimer go? Where'd he go?
Is that me?
Yeah, Steve that's Reimer from the show that...
Where'd he go?
You did this show.
Where's Steve Reimer?
When I first came on the show, you were taking a look at basically CIUT and you were wondering, where did
Steve
I go
Reimer
with
go?
My show?
Where'd he go?
Is this actually from an old International Connection show?
Yes. I think I have an idea of where this clip came from.
You do?
Yes,
where'd
I do.
Hmm. Wow.
Oh.
Where did he go? Where did he go? Now,
suddenly one day, you're just gone without any explanation.
Is that what I said?
Yes.
Are you there, Bob?
Yes.
Oh, so are you connected? Or is everything done?
No, I haven't done yet. I'm listening to Steve's. Steve's got something? He's playing something?
No, somebody else was playing something from an old International Connection show. It was me. I didn't even recognize myself.
Now, what is it?
It's someone saying, Steve Reimer, where did he go? Steve Reimer, where did he go? And it fooled me. I thought they were saying, Steve Reimer, where did he go? And it's me talking to me, but I didn't realize it was me. And then I go, he's right here. Just because he hasn't spoken in the last few minutes, maybe the person thought that he disappeared. But then it kept repeating and repeating and repeating. And then I realized that it's me. I don't know how someone would... Is that someone you know? Really?
Yes.
Someone you know is doing that.
Well, it's Bob Marshall, I believe, that may be having one of his agents infiltrate that.
I see. All right. Well, I don't mind. Now, so we're going in a line here. We started with Kim Jong-il. Then we went to Kim Jong-il's General Oh, who's firming up the military there in preparation for war. Then we moved to President Kim's son, his 25-year-old son, who is his new successor. When that time comes, that unfortunate time, if that arrives, we don't want. I hope President Kim lives as long as I live, but we'll see. We'll have to see. And then we went to Clinton, going over and saber rattling over in the Far East, and then that leads us to a very, very sad story. And Sox is dead. Do you know who Sox is? Do you?
Sox.
We're hearing Bob.
Sox is dead. Sox was the Clintons' cat, and Sox was the Clintons' cat. You're on the air.
Shows can disappear.
Shows can disappear. You're right. You're right. You're so right. I know only too well. Sox the cat is dead. The poor thing died, and this really got me upset. Of all the terrible news that's in the world, and there is a lot of terrible news, when I hear a cat dying, it bothers me, and this is a particularly famous cat. He was the Clinton cat. Now, normally these presidents have dogs because it's more masculine, evidently, but... What's
I think Greg's got us on mute.
Hello, you're back on again.
Greg.
Yes.
And we got Dave Neufeld. And February 22nd, we just hit the laughter. Bob Marshall, bring him on.
The last show. It's the last picture show.
Okay, I'm going to let you just commiserate there, and hold on. I'm doing Sox the Cat right now. I must do this. It's very, I can't have laughing during that part. Now, Sox the cat was an animal brought in by daughter Chelsea. She brought home a homeless cat a year before the campaign in 1991. And he's a lovely-looking cat, black and white. He's got a little black nose and got little black things on his feet. He's cute, or was cute. And he was the White House cat. And at the time, it was looked upon that Clinton, President Clinton, it showed certain vulnerability to have a cat rather than a dog. But it's obvious he didn't really want the cat. It was his daughter who wanted the cat. And in fact, the idea of a respected public figure nuzzling with a pet cat, it seems objectionable now, but it would have seemed odd until not long before Clinton's election. Well into America's post-war pet boom, cats lagged behind. The first vet school's classes on cats were only introduced in the late 1960s. Can you imagine that? Yeah. The first professional journal about feline medicine started some years later. They're a less expensive pet. Have you ever had a cat?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Do you like cats?
I do.
Yeah. I have two myself. But Americans, they seem to prefer dogs. But Bill Clinton and his feminist wife, it says in this article, and his willingness to tear up, it was sort of a groundbreaker that he had a cat. And
does Obama have any pets? Do we know?
Well, they're going to get a dog. He keeps talking about getting the young girls a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because Hillary Clinton is perceived as being a bit chilly, her personality, mm-hmm. she'd relied on the cat. And she'd even take the cat along, which I think is a bit cruel. But she'd take the cat along on personal appearances. And the worst part of this was, well, then what happened in 1998, after Bill and Hillary managed to supposedly repair their relationship after the affair with Monica Lewinsky, then he got Buddy the chocolate lab. Clinton got a dog.
Mm.
And this then created problems with the cat. The cat didn't like
always
the dog.
Happens.
Yeah, and he'd be seen hissing. And Clinton once joked they had an easier time bringing the Israelis and the Palestinians together than getting his pets to interact. Yeah, that's funny, huh? So when he left office, he took Buddy with him to New York with the family. But they abandoned socks. They abandoned the cat.
Abandoned the cat.
They did. They abandoned the cat.
I'm losing my brain this early in the morning. I only got 3 hours sleep.
Okay, so did Dave.
Okay, now you're back on.
So what you're saying is what I'm hearing through the phone
yeah.
is 2 minutes in the future.
Yes.
Right.
That's astonishing. I'm time traveling. Gee, in order I feel sick.
Yes. Okay. So.
Okay, they're not even listening to... about my stuff with Socks the Cat. I must. It's a very, very solemn moment here with Socks the Cat. And so they abandoned the cat.